Good morning, everyone. Well, it was getting down to brass tacks in part and also a desperation play for the big three car makers who were on the Capitol Hill once again asking for some sort of bailout bridge loan program. Call it what you will. Yesterday, it was the Senate where they talked about specific details of a plan to bail out the car makers. Today, it's going to be in the House. There was also some sentiment, and you can hear in Rick Wagoner's voice in our newscast just a moment ago, just how down to the end some of these car makers are. Joining us now is Todd Zwillick from Capital News Connection. Todd, you were there for those Senate hearings, correct?
Yes, I was.
And let's talk about the brass tacks to begin with. Here's Robert Nardelli, the chairman and CEO of Chrysler, talking about what Christopher Dodd also referred to repeatedly yesterday, that the TARP, the Federal Treasury, needs to be opened to at least allow some money to help these car makers make it into the first quarter of next year. Here's Nardelli.
I also want to reinforce the need for Chrysler Financial to receive immediate assistance from TARP, as their continued vitality is a critical assumption in our plan.
Todd, it sounds like Nardelli is making the case to the Senate that part of the auto companies are actually banks, and they should be helped like banks.
Yeah, that's correct, John. And you're seeing a wrinkle in the strategy, a new strategy, this week from what you saw a couple of weeks ago when the Big Three's visit to Capitol Hill was an unmitigated failure. Yes, they're making the case that the financing arms, those are the arms of the car companies that give you your financing when you buy a car. They're actually
technically
separate companies.
They also finance the dealers. They finance the dealer's inventory, too. It's interesting.
Correct. So they want access to the TARP, and up until now, of course, the administration has refused. They've said that TARP money is for protection of the integrity of the financial services industry and the financial services backbone of the economy. Well, you're seeing the case being made now that if GM and Chrysler especially fail, it stands a good chance of dragging down the financial sector with it. They not only made the case for the financing arms, but there was also part of their reports, part of their plans, and also an analysis from JP Morgan saying that if GM and Chrysler go down in short order, it would expose the financial sector to something close to $2 trillion in exposure. So they are clearly making the case that, yes, Treasury, if protecting the financial services sector is the imperative of the TARP, this is all about that.
Well, that's a great takeaway. So connecting themselves to the financial crisis and also saying, hey, we're part of the financial system with our financing arms. Now,
that's right.
Explain the details of this so-called prepackaged bankruptcy plan that Senator Corker was pushing so hard in the hearings yesterday. It's basically an agreement to meet some targets, and if you don't meet the targets, then you have to declare bankruptcy. How's that going to work?
Well, it's very unclear how it would work. It's unclear how any – there are six or eight ideas out there, and they're all half-baked. And I don't mean that as a pejorative. It means everybody's throwing out, you know, the skeletons and grains of their ideas into the mix. And they're all kind of getting mixed around. And we won't know until well into the weekend or after the weekend which of these approaches is going to bubble up.
Well, in the tortured metaphor zone, then, I guess half-baked lame duck, is that an entree? Is that a lunch dish? Or is that a sandwich? Let's end on the sense of desperation. I won't force you to go there, Todd. Let's end on the sense of desperation from Rick Wagoner. Here he is really just sort of saying, come on, save us.
We obviously have a lot of things that we're proud of. There's a lot of great accomplishments on the company's behalf, and there are also mistakes during our history. What we're trying to do as we put this plan together, which we submitted earlier this week, was to learn from both of those, learn from our contributions, our successes, and learn from our mistakes.
So there you got it, Todd. Lame duck, half-baked humble pie.
Well, again, this
is that going to work?
This is the other part of the chain strategy, which is if they want their money this week, not in January, not in February, now. And to do that, I'm sorry, you have to make yourself appear as pathetic as possible, because if Congress doesn't come to your rescue, the case is we're dead. We're dead. You got to do it now.
I mean, there is half baked, as John said. Apologies there. But it's also interesting what Senator John Tester, Democrat of Montana, said, which is the car makers are really having to go through something that the financial industry didn't when they got their checks.
Well, they're having to go out in front of the public, and the financial services industry also doesn't have a place in the culture that that the car makers do as the backbone of American manufacturing, which is an emotional issue and a culturally relevant issue, and that's part of their identity that you see the lawmakers from the manufacturing states, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and others coming out and making that this is not only essential to the economy and essential to jobs, it's essential to our identity, and the financial services guys did not have to go through that.
It's just amazing how little that is helping them, being connected to the culture. Well, Todd Zwillick, it's the House today, and we will talk to you next week to see where this stands. But Todd Zwillick, thanks so much for being a part of the program.
My pleasure.
Oh, no. For all you need to know, go, go, Todd Zwillick.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.